Jeremy, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Ruby. Good to be with you.
Ah, lovely to have you. Now, obviously, I notice you specialise in environmental ethics and climate justice. Can you explain what this entails and what issues you advocate for?
Well, look, in general, what climate justice refers to is making sure that our response to climate change fairly distributes the benefits and burdens of doing something about climate change, because while we're all focused on reducing emissions, as we should be, what we also want to ensure is that how we do that doesn't disadvantage people in the wrong kind of way and doesn't give the benefits to people who perhaps don't need them. So climate justice is looking to get that kind of formula right.
Absolutely. And so we also understand that you've just released a report on how bushfire insurance is no longer fit for purpose. So what exactly were your findings there?
Well, what we found is that the current kind of system that we have for insuring people's homes really isn't adequate to cope with the kind of risks that climate change places on people and their homes. And why it's not adequate is it basically is a market-based solution that puts all the risk back on the homeowner. And we think this is kind of unfair for a number of reasons. And the big reason why it's unfair is that that's just too big a risk to bear. So it's going to be the case, well, it's quite likely to be the case, that in coming years, hundreds and hundreds of thousands, up to 500,000 homes in the next 10 years, may not be insurable. And that's because either insurance companies won't offer insurance or because the insurance will simply be too costly. And that means that a lot of people will just not be able to insure their major asset, and their major asset will suddenly devalue a great deal. So we think that's too big a price to pay for what is essentially the product of decades and decades of inaction on climate change. And that's all being pushed back on individuals, often who can't afford it.
Absolutely. Not only that, of not being able to afford it, but having absolutely no power over what's going to happen in terms of climate change as well.
Well, that's right. And what makes that worse in a way is that when governments respond to disasters, or when they commit funding or resources for disaster responses, most of that, according to the Productivity Commission, about 97% goes to post-disaster relief. Now, of course, we want there to be government response after there's been a disaster. We absolutely want that. But we also want there to be a fair proportion of money spent on prevention, whether that's localised ways to prevent bushfires, whether it's building regulations, or, of course, the big one, which is doing something meaningful about climate change, which governments of all stripes so far have managed to avoid. So we think that those kind of factors that actually place people's houses at risk, that are driving the risks for households, aren't actually people's fault in the most part. And we don't see why people should bear the costs of that.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's so much power in a preventative action. So can you tell us a little bit about the Social Justice and the Future of Fire Insurance in Australia report? What exactly does it propose and how will it help Australians?
Well, look, fundamentally, what we do is we try and analyse the value driving different models of insurance. So, for instance, what I was talking about before, where the current model, the market model, pushes all the risk back on individual policyholders and individual homeowners. So the value there says, the value driving that kind of system is, you bear all the risk. Whereas we think that fire insurance in Australia should be a bit more like Medicare. Okay, so if you turn up to hospital and you have a condition that's brought on by a lifestyle issue, for instance, eating too much sugar, not exercising enough, whatever it happens to be. Now, you might get a stern talking to by the doctor, but we'll still treat you anyway. You don't have to bear all of the costs of that treatment yourself, even if you've had some role in causing your illness. And we think fire insurance should look a bit more like that than placing all the risk back on the policyholder. So what we're calling for is a government-backed model of fire insurance. And why we're calling for that is that losing your house or not being able to insure your house or only being able to insure it for a tiny amount, not enough to rebuild, that's just too big a disaster to put people in front of for us as a society to accept.
Well, you're exactly right. Not to mention, like, Australia seems to be quite prone to bushfires, so you think there would be more coverage over something that's happening so regularly, and then with the kind of growth of climate change will be happening even more regularly. So, you know, absolutely, what you're saying only makes perfect sense. So in your book, Climate Change and Justice, you mention how CO2 emissions need to be reduced to zero in order to halt anthropogenic climate change. So in what ways can we reduce our CO2 emissions for future generations? What's your advice?
Well, my advice is a bit unusual on this. So often people will think, well, you know, they should have low carbon lifestyles, and that's certainly true. But I actually think the best way to reduce emissions is by political activism. You can reduce your emissions by, you know, being a vegetarian or not travelling or not having many more children. And some of those things are good. But actually, I think if one really wants to make a big difference about emissions, one should join with others and take collective actions about climate change. I think that's by far the most effective thing. After all, that's what the fossil fuel industry does. They join together and they're very successful at promoting their policies. And I think people concerned about climate change should do the same, only with the opposite end result in mind.
Absolutely. I mean, like, you know, it's great enough to take the bus, but at the same time, you've got these huge companies whose carbon emissions are a lot larger than the everyday person. Well, Jeremy, thank you so, so much for joining us. It's been really great talking to you today about this issue.
My pleasure, and thanks for having me on.
My pleasure.